The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so we're going to spend another day on, I found the term for this, avuncular marriage. Such a delightful word. Oh, yes, avuncular marriage, which the Wikipedia page says, avunculate marriage, sorry. An avunculate marriage is a marriage with a parent's sibling or with one's sibling's child, i.e. between an uncle or aunt and their niece or nephew. Such a marriage may occur between biological consanguine individual relatives or between parents related by marriage. In some countries, avuncular marriages are prohibited by law, while in others, marriages between such biological relatives are both legal and common, now far less common. And history, it says, avuncular marriage was the preferred type of union in some pre-modern societies. Marriages between such close relatives were frequent in ancient Egypt, at least among members of the ruling dynasties. In societies adhering to Jewish or Christian faiths, such marriages are sometimes allowed. The Talmud and Maimonides encourage marriages between uncles and nieces, though some early Jewish communities, such as the Sadducees, believe that such unions were prohibited by Torah, which makes me wonder whether the Chachamim advocating it was in part polemical against the Tzedukim. I don't know. Among medieval and especially early modern Christians, okay, then that part's not really relevant to us. Yeah, okay, so let's just quickly review the Gemara that we did yesterday. So it said, that's not it. This is it.
No.
Okay, so it says, Ohevis Ishto, we're not gonna read the whole thing. Oh yeah, whatever. We'll read it, but just not dwell on it. Ohevis Ishto, Kegufo, Vahamachavda, Yosu Migufo, Vahamadik Pano, Vahamosav Derek Kishar, Vahamisian, Samako Pirkan, all because of Omer of Yadata, Kishalom, Oholecha. That was the first clause. Then here's our clause. Ha'ohev es shchenav, v'hamakarev es krova, v'hanose es bas achoso, v'hamalve sela la'ani b'shas dachako. So those are the four things. One who is, who loves his neighbors, who brings close his relatives, who marries his sister's daughter, who lends a coin to an ani at a time of his oppression or his need. All because of Omer, then you will call and Hashem will answer. You will cry out and he will say, I am here. Okay, so we didn't know what that has to do with anything. Okay, so the three answers we saw in terms of what's the deal with marrying your niece was Rashi, who says that there's going to be a greater natural affinity that a person has with his sister than with his brothers. And therefore, if you marry your sister's daughter, there's going to be a greater chibuv to your wife. Okay. So it's, that seems to be for the sake of Avas Ha'isha. It's going to be a stronger marriage from that end. Tosfos said, it really could have said brother's daughter, but you are like, you know, more, I don't know, you behave more endearingly towards your sister. And then Rabbeinu Tam said this other theory, which is Tadavka Nakat Bas Achoso Lafi Shehi Bas Mazalo, because it said specifically the daughter of your sister because she's of the same mazal. Kidamrinim Rov Banim Domin La'ache Ha'em. It says the majority of sons are similar to the brothers of the mother. And that's when we have this beautiful diagram. Okay.
Which
is so confusing. Honestly. It is confusing. So explain it and I will point.
Okay, so the top is just mom and dad. That's not really necessary.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Point is that that's you.
You.
And that is just, that's your sister.
Okay.
Okay. So then your sister has a daughter and a son.
Yeah.
Now that's called brother of the daughter.
Okay. Okay, fine.
It's
pardon the crudeness of the diagram.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So then if you marry your daughter.
No, marry your sister's daughter.
Oh God.
Yeah.
If you marry your sister's daughter.
It was only a matter of time before one of us said something like that. Yeah.
So if you marry your sister's daughter,
yeah,
then your son will be like his mother's brother.
Which is you.
No.
His mother's brother, which is,
who will be like his mother's brother, which is you.
Right. So the way I summarized it when you showed it to me yesterday was I said, if you want to have a son who is similar to you, both because it's your son and because of the uncle similarity phenomenon, then this is how you get it.
Because of the fact that your son's uncle is like his uncle, which is you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. What a rush. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that reviews what we did yesterday. Okay. So then I found this interesting thing, which is the Rambam. We actually did not read where the Rambam brings us down in Yisuri Bia. So in Yisuri Bia, Beis Yudalit, he says, Aviv o Beno Shanasa Isha. Okay, I always have to translate this slowly here. Okay, so a father or a son who marries a woman. Harizeh mutar lisa bita o amma o ima kamo shubiyarnu. So it is mutter for him to marry her daughter or her mother, as we explained. Is that correct?
Reflexively, the father marries him, the son can, or vice versa.
I think so, right? If the father marries a woman, is that true though? Then the son can marry her daughter. Yeah, right. Because they're not biologically related, and it's not father's wife. Wife. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. The umuter la'adam lisa ishis ben achiv. It is mutter for a person to marry the wife. Okay, Lisa Ishis Ben Achiv, the son of his brother.
So his nephew's wife. His fraternal his fraternal nephew's wife.
Okay, if you say so. Okay. Fraternal, I know, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like a fraternity. All right. Here's our halakha. Vinose Adam Isha Ubas Achosa Ubas Achiha Keachas. A person can marry, this is not our halakha yet. A person can marry a woman and the daughter of her sister,
mm-hmm.
Or the daughter of her brother. At the same time.
Oh, okay.
Shiisa adam bas achoso. Now, this is another rye where mitzvah does not mean a chiyuv. This means like it was encouraged. Mm-hmm. Mitzvah schachamim for a person to marry the daughter of his sister, v'hu hadin labas echav, also the daughter of his brother. So he holds like Rashbam, the first sheet in Tosvos. Shenemar, as it says, mi basarcha lo tislam. So this, when I saw this, I was like, oh, the pasuk that the Mishnah, that the Braisa quoted, needs to be read in context. Okay, so it says, so this is an interesting thing. Hello, and this is going to explain what the connection of the things in the Braisa is. Hello, Faros Lora Av Lachmacha, Va'aniecha Merudim, Tavi Bias, Kisira Om Vichisiso, Mibsar Haloti Salam. So if you spread out for the poor person your bread and the downtrodden poor you bring into your house, when you see a naked person, you will clothe him and you will not hide yourself from your flesh. From like your relatives, Az Yibaka Kashachar Orecha, then your dawn will burst forth like your light will burst forth like the dawn, Va'aruchaska Mehira Titzmach, again. And your Arucha will sprout quickly. I don't know what the Arucha is. V'halach l'fanecha tzidkacha, and your righteousness will walk before you. Kvod Hashem Yasfecha, the glory of Hashem will gather you in. Az Tikra V'Hashem Ya'aneh Teshava V'yomar Hineni. Im Tasir Mitocha Mota Shlach Etzba V'daber Aven. Then you will call out and God will respond. You will cry out and he will say, here I am. If you remove from your midst Mota and Shlach Etzba V'daber Aven. This is the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. Yeah, I forgot what those things are, but was it?
I just wanted the screen keeps
sort of. Oh, yeah. So I think my guess is if we look into this, we'll find all the stuff in the Braisa. Okay, but here the Magid Mishnah gives an interesting interpretation. Okay, he says, V'das Rabbeinu k'mo shekasav b'midrash, nasa adam isha mikro bosav, olav kasav omer etzem me'atamai u'basar mi'basori. So harkens back to Gan Eden. If you marry one of your relatives, then the pasuk says about you, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. So somehow that's a cum in like Adam, the Adam and Chava thing. Okay, va'inian, what's the idea? So this is a very interesting interpretation. She'avas akrovim hi tivis. The love of your relatives is natural, right? You naturally identify with your relatives. But the love of the man for his wife comes about due to the ma'aseh shnehem, the deed of both of them, that is mikra lehem, which is accidental to them. In other words, it has to be like, it comes about through like chance, not chance, but like you have to, it's circumstantial, right? I mean, you love her because you're married to her. And when the two of them join together, meaning the natural love and the marriage love, az yi ha'ohel nachon, then your tent will be firm. V'yihye shalom b'bayis, and there will be peace in your house. So it sounds like he's saying there's going to be a combo of a natural affinity and a marriage affinity, and it's going to be a very strong relationship. Okay. V'yadua she'en lecha krova she'yachol adam lisa yoser mibas ha'achos ubas ha'ach. And it's known that there is no relative that a person is able to marry that's, I think, yoser, that's closer than the bas ha'achos and the bas ha'ach. In other words, anything beyond that is arayos. Okay, so that you're getting as close as possible in terms of marrying your relatives to the point where it's arayos, but it's not there. That's what it means when it says don't hide from your flesh. So what this brought to mind is the Rambam's explanation for why arayos are usser. What's or sorry, why incest is usser? Anyone know?
Because it has to do like the smallest family. The smallest society, and that like you have to actually maybe this is the Rambam. I don't know what Rambam said. I know something else.
Yeah, what do you just elaborate on what you're saying?
Like, I've heard. Is that like it's an idea that you need like a almost like a safe space from like said the sexual drive, and that like if you can just do it whenever, wherever, with whoever,
yeah,
like you never have that like safety net of like something like that.
I don't know what you mean by the safety net or the safety.
In the sense that like you have like having the immediate family is like the smallest social circle, right? And that like there needs to be a circumstance that's built into like society. Where you don't have the like immediate access.
Oh, you don't have any. Okay, I thought you were saying you do. I got confused.
You don't have immediate access.
Yeah, safe space to me or safety zone meant like.
Okay, safety zone isn't like as in like you have all these like sexual tendencies that
right.
can like just like you know just spill over and then
yeah,
you have
yeah.
this like safety.
Okay, correct. Yeah. Okay, so let's just read it really quickly in the Rambam. This is in Mordechai 349. As for the prohibition against illicit unions, which I think is the translation of arayos, all of them are directed to making sexual intercourse rarer and to instilling disgust for it so that it should be sought only very seldom. So that's the general premise, is that the Torah wants to downplay the sexual. The reason for the prohibition against homosexuality and against intercourse with beasts is very clear. For if the thing that is natural should be abhorred, except for necessity, all the more should deviations from the natural way and the quest for pleasure alone be eschewed. Okay, so those don't even, they're unnatural and they don't even result in procreation. Okay, all illicit unions with females have one thing in common, namely that in the majority of cases, these females are constantly in the company of the male in his house and that they are easy of access for him and can be easily controlled by him, there being no difficulty in making them come into his presence and no judge could blame the male for their being with him. Consequently, if the status of women with whom union is illicit were that of any unmarried woman, I mean to say, if it were possible to marry them and the prohibition with regard to them were only due to their not being man's wives, most people would have constantly succumbed and fornicated with them. However, as it is absolutely forbidden to have intercourse with them, the strongest deterrence making us avoid this, I mean by this a sentence of death by order of a court of law and the threat of being cut off, so that there is no way to have intercourse with these women, men are safe from seeking to approach them, and their thoughts are turned away from them. So in other words, actually, I just want to read it one more time. Ish. Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's more or less crucial that don't we see societies like today where basically anything goes for legality, sexual wise, that people don't do this en masse, that would not be.
So that I have an answer to that, but I'll hold off on it for now just to prioritize this.
What is it, the exact opposite of? Like, I would argue, yeah, the opposite of what he's saying. Like, the things that the Torah talks about are happening on this.
No. You're saying, though, that incest is still people still abhor incest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not legal, but people still abhor it. I think it's illegal in most places.
Well, could you do the act, but not just get married?
No,
I think it's the act. I haven't looked into the law code, although I do have a law code source to bring up today, but from Rhode Island law. Okay. Anyway, it says it's very clear that relations are. So just to summarize, he's saying that if you these women are people who you're constantly with, and if you had access to them, then you just have be with them all the time. Okay, it is very clear that relations are easy with all women included in the prohibition concerning illicit unions. For it is very general that if a man has a wife, her mother, her grandmother, her daughter, her granddaughter, and her sister. Sorry, if a man has a wife, her mother, her granddaughter, her grandmother,
then her mother.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. If a man has a wife, her mother, her grandmother, her daughter, her granddaughter, and her sister will be in his house most of the time. So the husband will constantly meet them wherever he goes, enters, goes out, and is engaged in his business. The wife is also is often in contact with her husband's brother, his father, and his son. It is likewise manifest that in most cases, a man is often in the company of his sisters, maternal and paternal aunts, and the wife of his paternal uncle, and is brought up together with him. Now, these are the women of whom union is illicit because of their being relatives. Consider this being one of the reasons why intercourse with relatives is prohibited. Then he says, the second reason derives, so that was part of the first reason. The second reason, in my opinion, derives from the wish to respect the sentiment of shame. For it would, so this is an interesting one. For it would be a most shameless thing if this act could take place between the root and the branch. I refer to sexual intercourse with the mother or the daughter. That's like the worst. On the ground of the root and the branch, sexual intercourse of one of the two with the other has been forbidden. There's no difference between a root having intercourse with a branch or a branch with a root, or the root and the branch joining and having intercourse with a third individual. I mean that one individual reveals his nakedness in intercourse with both a root and a branch. That's like marrying a mother and a daughter.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is forbidden to take together a woman and her mother and have intercourse with the wife of one's father and the wife of one's son. For all this is revealing one's nakedness before the nakedness of both a root and a branch. Being brother or sister is like being root and branch, but once the sister was forbidden, also the sister of the wife and the brother of the wife are forbidden. For this would constitute the joining of two individuals who are like a root and a branch in sexual intercourse with the third individual. So the question is, what exactly is the Rambam saying is objectionable about this? I think there are some people who want to learn the Rambam as it being talking about like, you know, genetic defects and stuff, but he says with shame. So I'm not. Yeah, it seems to be some other thing, which I don't know. Yeah. But then he mentions our halacha. As union between a brother and sister is strictly forbidden, and as they are to have the same relation as a root and a branch, or even are considered to be one and the same individual, sexual intercourse with one's maternal aunt is also forbidden, for she has the same status as one's mother, and also intercourse with one's paternal aunt, as she has the same status as one's father. And just as the daughter of one's paternal uncle and the daughter of one's paternal aunt are not forbidden, the daughter of one's brother and the daughter of one's sister are likewise not forbidden because of the analogy. The fact that the wife of a brother's son is permitted to the paternal uncle, whereas the wife of the paternal uncle is forbidden to the son of a brother, may be explained by the first reason of the availability. For a brother's son is in most cases to be found in his paternal uncle's house and approaches with his paternal uncle's wife just as he approaches his brother's wife, whereas a paternal uncle is not to be found in this way in the house of his brother's son and does not approach the latter's wife. Yeah, that was confusing. Yeah. Do you not see that in the view of the fact that a father has the same opportunity to approach a wife of his son as the son has to approach a wife of his father, the prohibition is equally strict in both cases, its transgression being punished by one capital punishment. Now, the reason I wanted to read all that, even though that was a flurry of relationships, is because it really contextualizes what the Magid Mishnah was saying, which is that basically you have all, like you picture the family tree with all these possibilities, exits through all of them, except this is the one that is like permissible. And in a society where people are doing this based on taboo, people are like, oh, that's disgusting, you know? But the way that the Rambam is talking about, there's nothing like inherently wrong with anything except for the branch and the root, right? It's just the idea of excess indulgence in bia. And so, you know how, I don't know what the source of this is, but there's a chazal that says that like all of the, Yisurim of the Torah have like, there's one like mutter version that you do. I feel like this is like that kind of thing where you are indulging in this thing of like having bia with one of your relatives, but it doesn't fall under the rias. The other exception being cousins, which I don't even think people thought of as like, Yibum also, exactly, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yibum has other like virtues or something like that, but yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I was actually about to say that this is, so that Gemara you're talking about is one by Yalta, the wife of...
I didn't hear that year. That Rabbi Feder gives you on that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
Oh, not whatever, but... Rabbi Yosef Lili, maybe, I think yeah. Rabbi Yosef Lili. And, like, that's, like, the one, like, she was, like, figuring out, like, all the mutter ways to do the things, and, like, it was showing, you put it in two ways, that, like, she was, like, you know, had, like, a type of issue.
Yeah.
You could also say that, you know, she was viewing them not as taboos.
Ah, interesting.
And as, like, things that are like this is an okay thing. Like there's some sort of like, fish brain that tastes like pork or something. Like that.
Right.
She wanted to eat it.
Uh-huh. I got to listen to that here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically, it's like this idea that like if you relate to it as taboos, then you have like a misconception of like the Torah.
Uh-huh. Like interesting. That. Okay. If you'll indulge me, I just want to do two more little things because I don't want to stay on this tomorrow. I want to go to the stock and stuff. One is the Rav Makbili's comments are very interesting on this halacha. He says, "Ahava bein bnei hazug yitziva yozer." So the love between the couple will be stronger if you marry your niece. Yivnei shi mevuseses gam al kurva mishpachtis, because that's like the Magi Mishnah he quotes. Kayom nowadays nitan lomar beikvus mechkarim. We can say on the basis of research, shenasu shasikun lemachla genetis b'nisui mutarim shel bnei dodim madrega rishona hu muat. We can say that the danger of a genetic disease in marriages, in the permissible marriages of the children of your
bnei, your uncle.
Yeah, but it's not your, yeah, I guess children of your uncle, right? It would be the daughter. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. First cousins. Madrega Rishona, first cousins, who muat is minimal. Im in reka shall machlos torash tios beosa mishpacha, unless there are hereditary, unless there's a background, what's the frame? A history of genetic diseases in that family. And this is the first time I've ever seen this in learning the Mishnah Torah, quoting a URL of in the actual text of the Mishnah Torah, not the text, but in the printed edition, which is medicalethics.org.il. So you can look at that article for more research on that. So he felt the need to point that out. I did not look into what the genetic issues are with avunculate marriage. Uh-huh. Okay, but that's something to look into. But I did find, and this is the last thing. So I was looking in this. I post my questions on Facebook in certain areas. So there's a group that I really like with people who like respect knowledge, and then there's one that used to be like that. And like it became invaded with like people from all over the place. So when I was posting it in the group that respects knowledge, which I decided to use a feature I've never used before, which is posting it anonymously, because I just didn't want to have to defend against people who are like jumping all over this. So then I searched the other group and someone like posted the same question and people just attacked and attacked and attacked. But in the course of that, I saw someone say that they said in the majority of states, avunculate marriage is illegal. And then someone quoted that in Rhode Island, there is a law on the books that exempts Jews from that law prohibiting it. In Title 15 Domestic Relations, Rhode Island laws 15.1-4, the provisions of 15.1-2 and 15.1-3 shall not extend to or in any way affect any marriage which shall be solemnized among the Jewish people within the degrees of affinity or consanguinity allowed by their religion. So there's a special heter for Jews based on religious freedom to marry your niece in Rhode Island, which Rhode Island, I think, was one of the more religiously tolerant places. Is that also where the first shul was in the United States?
I don't know. I think it was New York. It was like Dutch Sephardim when the
Portuguese. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And that was originally, it says the history was in 1896 was the first.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to read this, the history of the section.
I don't know. It feels like a route too late because I feel like at that point, I'd just be surprised if I still care.
Look, a lot of these sexual laws, by the way, like in states in general, just stay on the books until like someone changes them, you know, like, I'm not going to go into details, but like, it's just like, you know, I've heard like these absurd laws that, that are still there.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is @Matt-Schneeweiss and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.